Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Now I want you to imagine something for a second. Picture a healthy, active young person. You know, maybe they're playing sports, hanging out with friends.
Just living a completely normal teenage life, right?
Yes, just normal life. And then without any warning whatsoever, their heart just stops beating. And I don't mean for a fraction of a second. I mean for up to 5 full seconds.
It's a profound disruption.
Yeah.
I mean, if you sit quietly right now and try holding your breath for 5 seconds, it feels like a really long time.
Yeah, it does.
Now imagine your heart completely pausing for that same duration. It strips away that illusion of invulnerability we usually associate with youth.
It's terrifying, honestly, because, you know, we hear about heart rhythm issues all the time, but we usually associate them with older people.
Right. In those cases, it's typically a matter of wear and tear on the heart over decades.
Yeah. But when a severe heart rhythm issue strikes a young person, it is almost never about wear and tear. It's almost always a hidden glitch in their genetic code. It's this biological mystery hiding right there in their DNA. So today we are asking a question. What really happens when the heart's natural pacemaker loses its rhythm?
And to solve that mystery, we're going to look at just an extraordinary piece of scientific detective work. This deep dive takes a stack of incredible sources, ranging from detailed clinical data of individual families to AI-driven 3D protein models.
All the way up to massive genetic biobanks containing the DNA of over 1 million people.
Exactly. The mission today is to synthesize all of this, to understand how a single microscopic typo in our DNA can cascade into a life-threatening cardiac short circuit.
Today, we celebrate the work of Metella Nicastro, Najim LaRucci, Connie Arbezina, and an incredible international team spearheaded by the Amsterdam UMC, who have advanced our understanding of inherited cardiac conduction defects.
And we should note, this deep dive is based on their research, which was published in the American Journal of Human Genetics in 2025.
It's just a phenomenal paper.
It really is. Now, to appreciate the scale of what this team uncovered, we first need to look at the heart, not just as an organ, but as a dual system machine.
Right. I always find it helpful to think of the heart as a house. If you're a cardiologist, you're basically looking at two main systems. You have the plumbing, which would be the heart's chambers, and the valves pumping the blood.
Yep.
And then you have the electrical wiring running through the walls.
That is a perfect analogy. Most people conceptualize heart disease purely as a plumbing issue.
Like a blocked artery or something.
Exactly, a blocked artery or a leaky valve. The electrical wiring is often overlooked, but it dictates absolutely everything. In a healthy heart, the electrical signal begins in a highly specialized cluster of cells called the sinus node.
Which is kind of like the spark plug, right?
Right. Think of the sinus node as the heart's spark plug. It generates that initial electrical impulse and sets the pace. From there, the signal travels down the walls to a relay station.
The AV node.
Yes, the atrioventricular node, or AD node. The AV node briefly holds the charge, just for a split second, and then passes it down to the lower chambers so they can track in a coordinated wave to pump the blood.
So it's spark, relay, pump. It's a very tight, highly coordinated sequence.
It has to be. And when that wiring degrades or, you know, is built improperly from the start, you get what we call cardiac conduction defects, or CCDs.
Okay.
The signal might get delayed or might be completely blocked. And when severe CCDs show up in a teenager, well, the plumbing is usually perfectly fine.
But the electrical wiring is failing catastrophically.
Exactly, which points strongly to a genetic disorder.
Right, which sets up the specific medical gap these researchers were trying to fill, because science already knew about a few genes that cause these electrical short circuits. There's a gene called POPDC1.
Yes, the Popeye domain-containing protein family. That's where the POPDC acronym comes from.
Got it. So when people have mutations in POPDC1, they develop a very specific combination of problems. They get muscular dystrophy paired with heart block.
Right. But the medical mystery arose because cardiologists were treating young patients with early onset heart block. And some of them also had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Which is a thickening of the heart muscle, right?
Exactly. But they had absolutely zero signs of muscular dystrophy. And when geneticists sequenced their DNA, the POPDC1 gene was perfectly normal.
Wow. So the plumbing was struggling a bit with the thickened muscle, but the electrical wiring was just failing completely, and nobody knew which gene was responsible.
Right. So the researchers hypothesized that the culprit might be a closely related cousin of that first gene. They focused their attention on a gene called POPDC2.
But finding a suspected gene is, It's one thing, right? Proving it causes a rare disease is a massive hurdle. You can't just find a variant in someone's DNA and declare the case closed.
No, definitely not. Because every single person listening to this right now has millions of variations in their genetic code.
Exactly.
So that was the first major obstacle. They needed a clear pattern. The team searched globally and identified 4 unrelated families where young members suffered from these severe, unexplained heart rhythm issues.
And what did they find?
Well, by sequencing the DNA of these individuals and their healthy relatives, the researchers found extremely rare variants in the POPDC2 gene that tracked perfectly with the disease.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because when I was reading the source material, I was initially confused as to why finding the gene wasn't enough.
Right.
But then I realized that a gene is really just an instruction manual. Having a typo in the manual doesn't explain how the building falls down. You have to actually see the broken building.
That is the perfect way to frame the next step in their methodology. To see the broken building, they turned to AI-driven protein modeling. Specifically, AlphaFold Multimer and Swiss model.
AlphaFold is just revolutionary.
It really is. It looks at the sequence of amino acids, the building blocks of a protein, and calculates how they will attract and repel each other to fold into a complex three-dimensional shape.
So they didn't just find a typo in the DNA, they literally built a 3D model to see exactly how the typo breaks the microscopic protein machine.
Exactly. They fed the healthy POPDC2 genetic sequence into the AI, and then fed the mutated sequence into the AI to see the structural difference. They simulated the molecular architecture to see exactly where the foundation was cracking.
That is wild.
And the AI predicted that the specific mutations found in these 4 families physically altered the 3D shape of the resulting protein. But, and this is a big, but a static 3D picture generated by a computer still doesn't show you how a living cell's electricity is actually affected.
Right, which forces them out of the computer lab and into the wet lab. This brings us to patch clamp electrophysiology. I have to admit, the sheer mechanics of this technique are just fascinating to me.
Oh, it's incredible.
You are taking a microscopic glass pipette and physically attaching it to the membrane of a single living cell just to measure the electrical currents flowing through tiny ion channels.
You're measuring the electrical spark of a single cell in real time. It is incredibly delicate work. I mean, they're measuring currents in picoamps.
Picoamps?
Yeah, trillionths of an ampere.
Oh, wow. So they have the genetic suspect, the AI showing the physical damage, and the patch clamp measuring the electrical failure.
Right, but they also needed to know the geographic location of the crime within the heart itself.
And to find that, they employed single nucleus RNA sequencing and spatial transcriptomics.
Yes. Instead of grinding up a piece of heart tissue and looking at an average of all the cells, this technology allows researchers to look at a microscopic slice of human heart tissue and map exactly which genes are turned on or off in every individual cell.
So they could pinpoint the exact geographic location in the heart where POPDC2 is active.
Precisely.
Okay, let's look at the results of this massive toolkit, starting with the genetics. They identified 5 specific variants in the POPDC2 gene across the families. But the key detail here is that this is a biallelic or recessive condition.
Right. Meaning you have to inherit a mutated copy of the gene from both your mother and your father to develop the disease.
So if you only have 1 mutated copy,
then your healthy copy produces enough functional protein to carry the load. Both copies must be mutated for the disease to manifest.
But when it does manifest, I mean, the clinical reality is just devastating.
It truly is.
The paper details 6 affected individuals. All 6 had severe AV block, the relay station, in our earlier analogy failing.
Yep.
4 of them had sinus node disease, which is the main spark plug failing. And that includes those terrifying sinus pauses lasting up to 5 seconds.
And in 2 cases, actual cardiac arrests.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about teenagers and young adults here.
It's heartbreaking.
Some of these patients required pacemakers to be surgically implanted as early as 15 years old. It just completely reroutes a young person's life. But thanks to the multi-layered methodology we just outlined, we finally have the why behind these symptoms.
Let's break down that why. Because going back to the 3D models generated by the AI, they found that the normal POPDC2 protein has a specific structural pocket.
Yes. This pocket is designed to catch and bind to a molecule called CAMMP.
CAMMP.
Right. It's a vital chemical messenger inside the cell. It acts as an internal signaling system, basically telling the cell how to react to changes, like a sudden surge of adrenaline.
Ah, okay.
The AI models prove that the mutations physically destroy or block that binding pocket. So the protein basically becomes blind to the chemical messenger.
But proteins don't act in isolation, right? The broken pocket has a downstream effect, which is what they measured with the patch clamp electrophysiology.
Exactly. The POPDC2 protein usually works alongside a specific potassium channel called TRK1. Potassium channels are essential for the heart's electrical cycle.
How so?
Well, after a heart cell fires its electrical signal to cause a contraction, it has to reset its electrical charge before it can fire again. Potassium rushing through these channels facilitates that reset.
You know, I try to picture it like the flash on a camera. When you take a picture, the flash goes off. But it needs a few seconds for the internal capacitor to recharge before you can take another picture.
That's a really good way to think about it.
If that capacitor's broken, the flash might take way too long to go off, or it might not fire at all. So the potassium channels are basically the heart cell's capacitor.
Under normal conditions, POPDC2 acts as an amplifier for this TKRA1 potassium current, helping the cell reset efficiently. The researchers demonstrated that the mutant versions of POPDC2 completely fail to amplify this current.
Wow.
So the cell just struggles to reset its electrical charge.
The spark plug misfires because the amplifier is broken. That beautifully explains the electrical failure. But earlier, we talked about spatial transcriptomics mapping the geography of the heart.
Right.
We mentioned the POPDC1 gene also causes heart block. And I was trying to figure out why POPDC2 causes these massive 5-second pauses in the sinus node, but POPDC1 doesn't.
Well, the spatial mapping provided a brilliant, really elegant answer to that exact question. When they mapped the human heart, they looked at the relay station, the AV node.
Okay.
Down there, both POPDC1 and POPDC2 are expressed together. Their coworkers sharing the space.
Mm-hmm.
But up in the sinus node, the primary spark plug expression of POPDC1 is incredibly sparse.
Oh, here's where it gets really interesting. It makes me think of an office environment.
How do you mean?
Well, if you have an AV node department, you have two employees handling the workload, employee one and employee two.
Right.
If employee one calls in sick, employee two can pick up some of the slack and keep things somewhat functional.
Yes.
But up in the sinus node department, employee two is basically running the entire show alone. If employee two goes down, the whole department collapses.
That is exactly the biological reality occurring in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because POPDC2 is the dominant protein operating in the sinus node, mutations in POPDC2 cause catastrophic failure of the sinus node, leading to those massive pauses.
That makes so much sense.
Meanwhile, mutations in POPDC1 primarily affect the AV node, where the two proteins normally overlap. Knowing the geographic location of the gene's activity perfectly explains the differing symptoms patients experience in the emergency room.
It is incredibly satisfying when the molecular mechanism directly explains the clinical reality like that. But there's a massive human question lingering here.
What's that?
We established this is a recessive disease requiring two bad copies of the gene. What about the parents? What about the brothers and sisters of these patients who might only carry one copy of the mutation?
It's a huge concern.
I mean, if you're a parent whose 15-year-old just got a pacemaker, you are going to be terrified for your other children.
Of course. And the researchers recognized the profound anxiety this creates for families. And they tackled it on a scale that is really only possible in modern genomics.
What did they do?
They transitioned from studying the DNA of four specific families to analyzing massive population-level databases. They utilized the UK Biobank and the DECODE database in Iceland, looking at the genetic profiles of over 1 million individuals.
Let that sink in for a second. Over 1 million genomes sifted through to find anyone carrying this specific typo.
It's staggering. And within that massive data set, they found 426 individuals who were heterozygous carriers, meaning they carried exactly one copy of the rare POPDC2 mutations.
So they have one broken employee and one healthy employee.
Exactly. And the data show that these 426 carriers are clinically healthy.
Wait, really? Completely healthy?
The researchers looked for any statistical association with AV block, sinus node dysfunction, cardiac arrests, or pacemaker implantations. And they found absolutely no link to these severe outcomes.
Wow.
The only minor finding was a very slight trend toward a slower resting heart rate compared to the general population, but it was not pathological. It didn't require medical intervention.
So what does this all mean for the families? For the families dealing with this, that data from 1 million strangers has to be a massive sigh of relief.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It means if a young person presents with unexplained heart rhythm issues, doctors can test for POPDC2 to get a clear diagnosis and anticipate the need for a pacemaker.
Right.
But if they test the siblings and find they only carry one copy, They don't have to put them through years of stressful, expensive cardiology workups.
It immediately alters clinical guidelines. POPDC2 must now be added to genetic testing panels for inherited arrhythmias.
Yes, it provides a definitive answer for the affected patient while simultaneously removing a huge psychological burden from the rest of the family. The healthy copy of the gene provides enough functional protein to keep the heart's electrical system running smoothly.
It highlights why population genetics is just so powerful. But you know, no single study wraps everything up in a perfect bow. Science is an ongoing process of refining what we know. So what are the limitations of this deep dive? Where are the blind spots?
Well, the most prominent limitation is the sample size regarding this severe disease itself. While scanning a million genomes for carriers is robust, the core clinical findings of the biallelic disease are based on just four families.
Right, encompassing six affected individuals.
Exactly. Because it's such a rare condition, our understanding of the clinical spectrum is still in its infancy. As POPTC2 is added to testing panels globally, we will likely discover more patients and perhaps nuances in how the disease presents.
Like whether the hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, the thickened part muscle we mentioned earlier, is a universal symptom, or if it only happens in a subset of patients.
Precisely. We need more data to understand that clinical variability.
Yeah.
And there's another critical limitation, which lies in the computer modeling of the electrical current.
Oh.
Yeah. We know from the patch clamp data that mutant POPDC2 fails to amplify the Chi-Chi-K1 potassium current. However, when researchers fed that specific reduction in current into a computer model simulating a whole human sinus node cell, the mathematical simulation didn't fully replicate the severe bradycardia, the incredibly slow heart rate seen in the human patients or in genetically modified mice.
Oh, interesting. So the math of the single broken potassium channel didn't fully account for the severity of the failure in the whole beating heart.
Right. It suggests that while the failure to reset the potassium current is undeniably a major part of the problem, POPDC2 is likely interacting with other proteins or cellular mechanisms that we just haven't identified yet.
The amplifier might be hooked up to more than one instrument.
Exactly. It leaves a fascinating mystery for future researchers to unravel.
I love when a study answers a massive question but leaves a breadcrumb trail for the next generation of scientists. Let's pull all of this together. If you had to distill everything we've covered into a core takeaway for the listener, how would you summarize the impact of this paper?
Biallelic variants in the POPDC2 gene cause a newly identified recessive cardiac syndrome that severely disrupts the heart's electrical system. By combining genetic sequencing with 3D modeling and cellular mapping, scientists have uncovered how these mutations break the heart's microscopic pacemakers.
It really is a masterclass in modern biological detective work. We follow the trail from a terrifying 5-second pause in a teenager's heart, down to the shape of a single protein, and out to the genetic data of a million people. It leaves you with something important to consider. What does this mean for the future of diagnosing unexplained heart conditions in young people? How many other medical mysteries are sitting in emergency rooms right now, just waiting for this combination of AI modeling and spatial mapping to finally be understood?
It's going to change medicine, without a doubt.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Let it run. When the pulse goes low. switch won't bite, the drum can't find its way, but we name the break. Now we can light the relay. Models in the shadow show the pockets flaw. Can't pin land where it used to draw. And channels meant to breathe to keep the temple free. Go still, no lift in the track won't see. And I know where timing learns to start. A few cells hold the map. But for some to echo silence the call, turn the current back on.